When I read this reading the other day, I was reminded of a story that I played an unfortunate role in many years ago. It was one of the early big book launchings for one of Swami Kriyananda's books. And I had been asked, purely by God's grace, to help prepare the room that Swamiji would come and sit in and be there when he wasn't out on the stage. Of course, it was a huge honor. And I'm sure I got a little full of myself around it, unfortunately. But at some point, a woman walked in who I had never seen. And I was in that room alone with this one other woman who was helping me prepare the room. Nobody else had come yet. And she walked in, this woman who I didn't know, and she sat down, and I noticed, and she was an adult, a real adult, that she was wearing two different socks. And it was clear that she had intended to put on two different socks, not a pair of socks. And I immediately decided that that was just the most ridiculous thing I had ever seen, and why did she have to make a statement like that, and who was this woman anyway? She came in, she didn't even introduce herself to me. And I was just having a heyday with that in my mind. And about 10 minutes later, Jyotishin Devi walked in. Jyotishin Devi are now the spiritual directors of Ananda Worldwide. Well, actually, I think even at that point, they were the spiritual directors, but Swamiji was still alive. And Devi looks at this woman and says, "How delightful, how artistic and wonderful and expansive of you. Look at your socks. It's so wonderful." And 2 minutes later, Swamiji came in and she said, "Swamiji, look what she did with her feet. Isn't that beautiful?" And Swami just goes, "I love that." And I was there going... It was very humbling. As you can see, I remember it to the detail right now. This reading is like so many of the readings that we have here that Swamiji plays for us in these 52 weeks of the year, can just be read on so many levels. I mean, the kind of simple, if you will, though as my personal story just communicated, it is not always simple, even on the material plane. Just the reading from the Bible, you know, if you offer food or shelter or any good act to anyone, God says you're offering that to me. And of course, that's the truth, because God has made himself manifest in everyone and everything. There is absolutely nothing that exists in all of creation that wasn't manifested from this divine form. And so it's a nice practice, I think about doing good deeds for people, thinking good thoughts about people, really trying to remember, here's God, and there's God. And it's a beautiful practice, and it helps get us ready in a way for the deeper meaning of the story. So many times in life we practice outwardly. We had an event here yesterday and we were talking about the fire ceremony, which we did last night, but we do it every Sunday morning and many of you come, where we find a way to offer seeds of our karma, of that which it is that drives everything in our lives. That's what karma is. All of what drives every aspect of our personality, every like, every dislike. In other words, all of that that keeps us very much in the world, assessing and judging and deciding, and keeps us kind of out there on the periphery rather than in our very center. And so in our fire ceremony, we try and draw all of that up and offer it into the fire to be purified, to be changed, to be transformed, to be uplifted. And knowing that the real meaning behind that is that with meditation, we were speaking specifically about Kriya Yoga last night, but with any meditation that helps us draw energy up our spine, that the very act of that energy moving, the way it moves, drawing on it through these little vrittis, these little whirlpools of energy where things get stuck and habits get formed, that as we draw energy up, we ourselves are, in essence, at our essence, transformed. We change. We change everything about ourselves. We change our inner energetic pattern. Therefore, we change our magnetism. We change that which draws us to certain people or people to us or has us deciding that we really love red but we can't stand green. Every single thing, big and small. So we do that outwardly in the fire as a way of reminding ourselves and bringing ourselves to what's going on inwardly. And we even do this hand motion. So coming back to our story, if we can remember, oh yes, this is God, and this is God. I know sometimes when I go to work and I'm in the hospital, I'll tell myself, do a little practice today, Shanti. Whoever comes to see you, tell yourself, look at this beautiful little role that God's playing today through this person or through that person. Oh, here's God coming in to see me 30 minutes late, not caring at all that it's going to keep me 30 minutes late at the end of the day. Oh, look, here's God telling me how much they don't believe in doctors and they're not going to believe anything I say. And on and on. Wow, look at this. Divine Mother, welcome. Look how you came to see me today. I can't always say I make it through 8 or 10 hours doing it, but it's a good practice. So these are all good practices. And at the more superficial level, if you will, of the reading, the way we are out in the material world, out in everyday life, being deluded, as we all are, thinking that this is what's real, not realizing that this is just, well, as Master and Swamiji say, a shadow, a play with light and darkness, that what's real is not necessarily obvious to the physical eye, or we can't necessarily hear it, that the truth that is driving us all is something that resides very deep inside of us. It's something that we're always seeking, we're always hungry for, we're always looking, but we get confused, as we've said many times, about how to find it. And what this reading is actually about is what it means to shift our consciousness, not just our thoughts, not just try and, now I see God, now I see God, this is good, that's bad, wait a minute, there is no bad, okay, it's perfect, no matter what I thought before. It's endless. It takes us through lifetimes. And quite frankly, it keeps us feeling pretty darn miserable, even just in this lifetime, in the here and now. But if we find ways to change our consciousness, if we find ways to move more from these inner truths and to see the world through different eyes, then we're not always doing that struggle. We're not out here practicing the truth. It happens naturally. So Master Mahashaya comes in very sweetly, puts his arm around Master and says, but isn't it true, little sir, that the voice of God sounds sweet through any lips? Isn't it true that however people are speaking of caring about loving God, what if we lived with that consciousness so that all we saw was God in everyone? a friend of mine wrote me an email last week, and what we were doing, it was almost like instant messaging. But at one point she said, I once had a dream, and in that dream, God invited me to stand on his feet and look out at the world and see everything the way he saw it. I thought, what a beautiful, super conscious dream. That's what we all want to be doing. We want to change ourselves. What happened to Master in this story? Master, in an instant, with the touch of such a great saint, he had to move from ego consciousness, from that separate, dualistic, often judgmental, always deciding, really always judging, even if it doesn't happen to turn out to be a negative judgment. But with that touch, he was suddenly lifted into the center of Christ consciousness, this unitive, unifying consciousness to live more from here. And suddenly, that music is God in his ears. This simple movement from ego, from the material world, to this center of Christ consciousness. A few weeks ago, Jyotishin Devi returned from several months away, and they wrote, they have a blog called A Touch of Light that I know many of us read, and it's easy to read. If you don't already, you can go to ananda.org and subscribe to it. And they're just these little blurbs. They're designed to just take 2 minutes to read, so we don't have to save that email and find it number 200 or 300 on our list to get back to. And this one was called What We Saw. And it was so lovely because they, I forget now who wrote it, I think it was Davey, listed everything that happened to them as they left the U.S., as they went to Italy and spent a month in Italy and then on to India. And they were describing for all of us what happened in their journey there, what they saw, who they saw, what people were doing. And then at the very end, they said, after describing these remarkably different scenes all over India, they said, but what did we really see? And Devi said, we saw the glorious presence of God smiling out at us, one place after another after another. And I thought to myself, what an absolutely beautiful consciousness to hold, that they weren't seeing just the Italians building a temple or the previously street women of Brindaban now being fed and clothed, even beautiful, beautiful scenes. They saw nothing but the glorious presence of God in all of it. And when I read that, I thought to myself, this is our goal. This is all of our goal. Swami Kriyananda wrote in The Path so beautifully in one of the chapters. He says, if you're in a room that's filled with light, but you close your eyes, you're going to bump into things. If you refuse to see light, you create darkness in your world. If you refuse to open your heart and feel love, you create anger, greed, maybe even worse, apathy. If you refuse to feel joy, you create misery. And I was so struck when I reread that some weeks ago as I was preparing a class, because to me, the clear word there was create, that we create. How much of a choice we have, how easy it would be to open our eyes, to let our heart be open, to trust more, to look for experiences of joy. That is, in essence, what practicing the presence of God is. It's opening in all of those ways and just letting these masters, opening ourselves to allow the grace of God to descend and work their miracles with us. All we need to do is say yes. It is that grace that comes, that transforms us, that leads us to the realization of the truth. And as I said last night, for those of you who were here, it's only that realization that can destroy ignorance. Ignorance in this sense being listening to people chant and thinking they're doing a bad job, needing to spend 10 minutes of my life judging the socks that somebody put on. But we do that, can you imagine how many times during every day we are putting ourselves in situations where we see what is wrong? It's remarkable. It's actually torturous to begin to track that in our lives. I'm not suggesting it. Rather, I would say, what if we all did an experiment? What if we took one day and said to ourselves, let's practice today seeing God in everyone and in everything, no matter what the situation, no matter whether we're, you know, sometimes when I leave the church and I drive over to a home that we have in Menlo Park, it takes about 10 minutes to get there from here. And recently, there are times where I get in the car here and I go to drive there and it's taken me an hour. And I'm sitting in this traffic feeling, of course, like I'm wasting my whole life. And in those moments, I'll say to myself, now, Shanti, now. It's simple when you get there in 10 minutes and a dinner's waiting for you and your partner and it's joyful. It's easy then. But what about for one day? We look at everyone and whoever they are, however they're behaving, whatever happens to be coming out of them, whatever situation, say, ah, here's God coming to me. Here's Divine Mother visiting me in that patient, in this friend, in this traffic jam, wherever it is. That's the experiment that we want to do. We want to bring enormous effort to practicing the presence of God. And whatever we need to do, like that fire ceremony, till eventually we're so right in our core that it never dawns on us to have another thought. So now we practice by going through one day. Thank you, Divine Mother. Thank you, Divine Mother. How wonderful to greet you today. Let's all try that and see if we can begin to move ourselves from ego consciousness, from duality, from judgment, into this center of Christ consciousness, where we know without a doubt, not just that we're one with all, but there is nothing but God ever anywhere. Asha said so beautifully last week, I hope I can quote her now exactly. She said, we are all perfectly capable of loving perfectly. I think those were her exact words. Let's carry that with us. We're all right now, right in this minute, perfectly capable of loving perfectly. But perfect love, opening our heart to true love, which, by the way, is our, as Davy said one time so beautifully, it's our native language. We've just forgotten it. So let's all practice doing that. It's already ours. Let's practice loving perfectly, because if we do that, then we are living in the presence of God.